This is the Back Porch Education Podcast. Today on the show, Steve and I will discuss the film Man Without a Face. Enjoy. Get your education. Back Porch Education. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Steve, we're going to talk about The Man Without a Face today, a movie directed and starring Mel Gibson.
His directorial debut.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay, very cool. But I thought we could start with a poem from that movie.
Yeah, okay.
Perfect. Well, I mean, there's a teacher, and he's teaching poetry and Latin and geometry, I think, is the is the thing that Norstedt...
He's trying to get Norstedt into a pretty elite private high school.
Exactly. And so along the way, he has to whet his appetite. And the kid doesn't like poetry, unlike our listeners.
Who used to really enjoy poetry.
And so he starts Norstedt off with some of the good stuff, but when the kid doesn't seem to enjoy it, he tries this one on him. This is by Ogden Nash, and it is entitled, I actually don't remember if it's Ode to a Goldfish or Ode to My Goldfish. I think it's Ode to My Goldfish.
I think it's personal.
Yeah. Okay, so here it is. Oh, wet pet. Well, there it is, everybody.
The shortest poem Jason will ever recite.
Well, you. Now, you know, Ogden Nash also has a poem entitled Fleas that's only two words long instead of this one, which is a loquacious three-word poem. But yeah, Fleas, for the busy listener, you could probably track that one down and get through it pretty easily. Anyway, there's probably a lesson in there about starting where the kid can manage or, you know, whatever. But let's get into the movie. So first of all, thanks for the recommendation. I have seen the movie previously on your recommendation, as I recall, several years ago. But it had been a while, and you told me this time before I watched it that it was based on a book.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's cool. I didn't know that.
Well, let's inform the listeners to the fact that I have this penchant for anything educational in literature and cinema. So if I come
across...
You're
on the lookout for teachery stuff.
Yes. Yeah. If someone mentions a book that's roughly about a teacher...
Dude, sorry, but have you ever... I just, now that you're saying that...
this is a conversation.
Right. What's it called? Hold on. Susanna Clark has a book called Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell.
Never heard of it.
Dude. That book, it's long. It's a summer read because it's several hundred pages.
Okay.
But it's fiction. Okay, we won't get into it here, but that book, that would be, I don't know if I want to read it again because it's a long book to do for the podcast.
There's like this thing called Spark Notes.
I'll just get on lit charts.
There you go.
All my students seem to think that that's...
700 pages in one handy-dandy chart.
Exactly.
It's like a four-minute Macbeth, right?
Right. Dude, anyway, there is a very, very defined teacher-student role in that book, and it rocks.
But there's a lot of films.
Yeah, and films.
And my point... with these is several fold. If I'm watching it for myself, it's that I might look at this fictional character who inevitably has something exaggerate.
Yes.
Right? I rarely see on film a teacher that's normal.
Yeah.
Right? There's something either awful about them or fictionally heroic, wonderful.
Heroic, yeah, right.
And so occasionally I'll see a, like To Serve with Love, to me, had some natural elements to it that made me really like it. But a lot of these Dead Poets Society, Man Without a Face,
sure.
Dangerous Minds.
What about the one where the young teacher goes kind of to like an urban school and does like teaches journalism and like writing and stuff?
I think you're talking about Dangerous Minds.
Oh, is that
Michelle
what that
Pfeiffer,
is?
Pfeiffer.
Yeah. That's that one.
So yeah, there's when I watch them, there's a couple things that can happen. One is, of course, I see truth embodied.
Mm-hmm,
right,
mm-hmm.
It's a metaphor.
Yeah.
Right, there's this fictional filmed character.
Right.
What's good, what's bad, what would I have done in their place, so on and so forth. So it's building up what I would call the instructional imagination.
Okay, right? Nice, yeah.
But the other thing is I spend a lot of time talking with teachers, not just you, but
yeah.
others.
Right.
And especially when it's in a training motif, mm-hmm. a mentoring motif,
mm-hmm.
to have this artifact out here, Mr. Keating, or...
Right.
Or
Forrester, right?
Keating was Dead Poets Society, but yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Forrester,
right?
Right. So in Finding Forrester, great movie about
yeah,
teaching writing and that sort of thing. So then myself and the other person are not evaluating each other's teaching,
mm-hmm. which can get a little personal and maybe
well, especially
hurt our feelings.
Yeah, if I've watched them teach and then we're talking about that directly,
right?
If they watch this thing that I've also watched, and then we evaluate and judge that,
yeah,
knowing that it's written, scripted,
yep,
it's not real
for sure,
but it's still an imaginated. I'm gonna create words all over the place.
I like it. Imagined.
It is an imagined right. scenario that neither of us feel threatened in evaluating.
Yeah,
right. We could be perhaps more honest. Going at the Man Without a Face,
right?
Then implying that there's something directly
sure
relevant in the
sure.
film for the
sure.
teacher. So I don't know. It's a long explanation, but I do have a whole lot of movies, some of which are direct filmed classroom.
Yep.
And some Forrester isn't as much that as it is a relationship of learning.
Yeah.
And there's others that stem out from that. Babette's Feast is one that has...
Dang, that's one that you've...
On the surface, nothing to do with education.
Right.
But when you watch it with other teachers, we all go, oh...
Huh.
You know, and there's a lot of that kind of
yeah.
stuff. Where anytime you have a learning relationship,
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
my point.
Yes.
Is it can be evaluated. So... We have it in Norstedt, and help me out with McLean?
McLeod.
McLeod.
Justin McLeod. McLeod, yeah.
They have a horrible name for him. Hamburger Face?
Yeah, Hamburger.
Hamburger Head.
Hamburger Head, yeah.
Hamburger Head, yes. So,
or The Freak. They call him The Freak.
The Freak.
Yeah.
Because he has, in the past, been horribly burned
yep.
to where he doesn't have a face, as we would call it.
Right.
So that's an interesting motif to begin with, is... He's reclusive, mm-hmm. kind of removed himself from teaching and from society.
Yep.
And Norstedt is, well, a teenager.
Yeah.
You know, he's just
a young teenager.
Awkward.
Yep.
Middle child syndrome, et cetera, going on. And he's got this thing he only partially wants to do. He wants the notion of getting into this academy.
Mm-hmm.
In part, I think he thinks it will improve his life.
Yeah,
but he doesn't want to do the work.
I don't. Right. So when the movie opens up and it's him in a dream, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It is. It's him being carried on shoulders of military men.
Yep.
Right, and he's decked out in his military garb, and he is. It's an escape.
Yeah.
The boarding school is not, his aims are not education. His aim is to escape his mother
yeah.
and older half-sister and younger half-sister
And this hairball that the mom is dragged into the
picture. The latest husband. Yes. Right. The latest husband.
Played wonderfully. I forget the actor's name, but
yeah.
But he's awesome.
He yeah. He does a great job with that character. Yeah.
Hey man.
Yeah. He's a Yale professor who
slash hippie.
Yeah, is very anti-imperialism.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, yeah.
Kind of indisposed towards any structured education. And right. Not real thrilled that Norstedt's seeking out.
Right, right. Well, that's one of the first things, right, is he contrasts. That was a great foil to put out to McLeod,
mm-hmm, right.
Because McLeod is so I don't know about rigorous, but
old school.
Yeah, old school. Well, what he says, one of the first things that he says to Norstedt when he takes him on is out discede, right? Either learn or leave. It's up to you. The choice is yours. I do not care.
And it takes almost half the movie for Norstedt to make up his mind about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
He keeps wanting to leave because the learning is really hard.
Yeah.
I mean, when your homework is...
Dig a hole.
Right. Is it two by two or something like that?
Yeah,
yeah. With specified measurements and then fill it up.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm not... championing that as something that, but the learner has to be brought to a place of wanting to learn.
Yes.
And I think he's trying to convince Norstedt, look, this isn't going to be easy, but you're going to have to trust me.
Right.
That my methods, as weird and old school as they might seem, will get you to where you want to go, but you're going to have to get there through me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just going to, hey, whatever you want to do, I've got a system, so to speak.
Right. And that system can account for you, and it can adjust to you in all sorts of ways, but you may not understand the system.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Trust the teacher, I know what I'm doing, is a big message in that.
Yeah, moment, no doubt. That is.
Which is, we've kind of turned that on our heads, right? I think many teachers today are constantly trying to find out what the student wants to do and then plan lessons to that.
Right.
And I'm not saying that engagement isn't incredibly important, but I am saying that one of the hallmarks of immaturity is not knowing what's good for you.
Yes.
And so you must winsomely... And Hamburger Head does this very well.
Yeah.
He evaluates his student. He probes... and searches and assesses,
right,
and seeks out the kind of lesson that would accomplish his goals.
Yep.
But that's what you see is Norstedt starts enjoying himself despite his
right
kind of determination that I'm not going to enjoy this.
Yeah. Well, so I think it sums up their relationship pretty well when... he is quoting Latin to him. They're reading Shakespeare together. Yeah. They are
animated,
filling in holes, and they're looking at
the
math
little,
of that.
Yeah,
right. And then
recreating battles with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, recreating battles, and then McLeod says, "Hey, Norstedt, I've got a practice test scheduled for you tomorrow." And he says, "What? But I haven't studied." Right? Like the kid is very unaware in some pretty charming ways that he is being educated. He is soaking it up.
Yeah.
Right.
He's almost waiting for when are we going to start learning?
Right, right. When's all the boring stuff that I hate kick in?
Yeah, right, exactly. I've been to this doctor before. Where's the needle?
exactly. Yeah.
And it's interesting that a lot of what Norstedt has to be... So there's there's the reality of the teacher and the student that's augmented, not just by Norstat's background, which we've developed a little bit.
Yeah.
But this whole trauma.
Yep.
This disfigurement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a scene where Norstat just keeps staring at the burns.
Yes.
And it bugs the teacher to the point of having to address the elephant in the room.
Yep.
And it's a intense scene.
Sure.
But it's real. You can't ignore the person of the teacher. The teacher's just not a talking machine.
Right.
At least in this setup.
Right.
Right. These are two people relating to each other and having to come to the more they understand each other, the better the learning becomes, and I think the more implicit the learning is, as opposed to now dig this hole. They right. move away from these commands to curiosity.
Right.
And at some point you find Norstat reading and studying because he wants to know.
Yeah. Right. Right. Well, and he's let down by his mom. Early and often, but at one point in particular, right, he comes home and they're reading The Merchant of Venice, I think.
Yes.
And he says, he busts in the door and he says to his mom, Mom, do you know Shakespeare? And she says, what? Yeah, I know Shakespeare. And he says, in The Merchant of Venice, does he die in the end or not? Right? Does he kill him? And she says, well, what? And so she falls back to generic expectations, right? She says, well, somebody always dies in the end of Shakespeare, right?
Basically,
and he says, no, but yeah, right. She doesn't know. And he's like, but does he die? Does he die? And she says, well, I read those years. I studied those years ago. And he's very downcast, right?
How can you not remember the end?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's killing me. Back behind that is the artfulness of the teacher.
Right.
Who is, you know, when he cuts off the lesson, the kid's like, whoa,
right.
Come on.
Right.
We got a little longer.
Right, you know, right.
No, we'll take it up tomorrow.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Cliffhanger.
It's a wonderful thing. And there's a lot of... I like the movie a lot because of that relationship that forms. I think it highlights so many teachery and student-y things, right? But it's also, it's not formulaic, right? It's not an instruction manual. This isn't the I'm not going to walk in on Monday morning and say out, whatever it is, out discede, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
I'm not free to do that.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think the movie is suggesting that we become any of the characters.
No, I agree with you.
It's certainly got everyone in a faulty place.
Mm-hmm.
McLeod's not anywhere close to perfect.
No.
The book perhaps goes further and implies impropriety in the past,
mm-hmm.
which is only sort of alluded to in the movie.
Right.
The book pulls that out a little bit more, that he might have been inappropriate with a past student.
Right.
And in both the movie and the book, talk about the fact that in the accident that disfigured him, student of his died.
Yes.
So he's not without his baggage.
Right.
And it shows up throughout. And so I love the fact that it's not a one-way street, right?
Sure.
He's not just capable of getting Norstat into the academy.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Norstat brings McLeod to a place,
right?
Not of complete healing, but he's back into society a little bit. He's mm-hmm. seen that it isn't all over yet.
Right.
And
a man can play a different role, even if his role is a sad one.
Yes.
He in his last letter, he says, "You taught me that."
Yeah.
Right. And it's a touching moment, right, in the movie.
Well, when you jump ahead and you see
right.
an older Norstad graduating. In his regalia
yep.
and graduating and off in the distance McLeod. Is McLeod yeah. just kind of,
yep.
hey.
Right.
There's I mean, you know, with the recent COVID issues, last graduation faculty, just because of social distancing, and it was indoors due to weather, we weren't allowed to go.
Oh.
I didn't realize how harshly that would affect me
yeah.
until I'm sitting there watching it on a streaming setting.
Yeah.
Going, you know, this is my, that's normally my closure.
Yeah, yeah.
All this work for 4 years into this student's life, to see them go across that stage is a big deal.
Right.
And I don't get it this year.
Huh.
And it's like,
yeah.
So, you know, the arc of
mm-hmm.
the time they spend, which I don't know, it was less than a year, but
yeah, just a summer.
Yeah, the arc of their relationship is still a complete arc, right? It is yep. brought to closure years later,
right?
And that's been my common experience. Is I don't. A student is often unaware of everything that's happened
mm-hmm.
until they've gone further down the road and come back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a, hey, Mr. Elliott, remember me type thing.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to,
yeah,
wow, you've been the greatest teacher of all time.
Right.
No. They went out of here.
Yeah.
That's their...
Right.
And I hope many students going on to college have what should be the experience in college of some of their best teachers.
Yes.
It isn't always true. But I think it's true enough.
Yes.
That I don't mind second or third fiddle.
Oh, sure.
But the point is not the ranking. The point is an understanding of the, mm-hmm. of the journey. And there's no indication that they have a lifelong relationship. They have that summer that
right.
formed Norstad in ways nothing else could have.
Right.
And kind of breaks McLeod out of his...
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. I think that in particular, the as that relationship develops, right, as McLeod is teaching Norstad more and more, what we see is the community growing increasingly uncomfortable with that
yeah.
Relationship. And I think, I don't know, I'm glad that that made it into the movie, you know, because this idea, well, that's the scene toward the end where there's an informal meeting with McLeod. McLeod is asked to an informal meeting where he sits down with the chief of police, some psychiatrist expert, the lady from Department of Family Services or something like that, a judge, and a lawyer.
Yeah.
The DA.
As informal right? as you possibly can be.
Right. A gathering of pals.
Yeah.
Right. And anyway, just in an increasingly litigious society,
the trust necessary for learning is harder and harder.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the expectation. You know, when I was a kid, trouble at school, you're in trouble at home. There was almost right. I won't say mindless, but there was an implicit. I know these people, and I know they want the best for your life. If they're telling me you're not behaving correctly,
right.
the problem's with you.
Exactly.
Not them.
Right.
And that's certainly not everywhere, but there's a pretty good turn to where on a regular basis there is at least the initial thought, well, not my Johnny.
Yeah, right.
That teacher must be messing up if they can't get my Johnny to learn correctly.
Right.
And so it is a, we try things faster in yeah. our minds. We jump right. to conclusions.
Right. Yeah. My parents, my teachers, and my youth pastor were always in agreement
yeah.
that I was the problem.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And they were not right 100% of the time.
Right.
but man, were they close. I mean, the amount of times they were wrong is a rounding error, right? Yep. And now, we're not suggesting that as a course of action, but just noting that as a, well, let's just say it this way. Let's make it a positive thing. Make sure you trust the other people involved in your child's education.
Yep. Know them. Be engaged with them. Be aware of what's going on. And, you know, that's, I guess the action point there is if you can't trust them, find ones you can.
Right.
There is a setting in which trust is possible.
Yes.
I don't think we're cursed to just not being able to have community anymore.
Right.
It's just, I think it's harder work.
Yeah.
Whole other podcast as to why that's so. Mm-hmm. But it's important, I think, in this film. There is a dialectic going on between the old ways of education, Shakespeare, Latin,
right,
poetry, etc.
Right.
And sort of the post-60s new progressive, it's all about the kid's heart.
Right.
And it's interesting that they don't go one way or the other. They allow a tension.
That tension is super productive.
Yeah. And McLeod is called to rethink some of his positions.
Right.
Ever bit as much as, you know, that's the thing, is outside the relationship or on the periphery of the relationship, the stepdad-ish boyfriend, whatever he is,
right,
and mom and sister, etc., are on the outside looking in with a certain color of glasses on.
Yep.
And not really informed. But Norstedt, growing up in that family, is brought into a new world by coming into the world of McLeod.
Yeah.
And McLeod is forced to reckon with this. His bubble gets broken a little bit. He has to get out into the dirty world again that he has been basically hiding from for quite some time.
Right.
Which is interesting. We did Finding Forrester. Forrester,
recluse,
has shut himself up in his apartment because the outside world just doesn't understand him. And I think McLeod's a step further. He's physically damaged goods,
right,
and doesn't want to have to put up with the rejection that still happens every time he gets in his old pickup and drives into town.
Yeah.
He kind of, like, the store owner purposely,
right,
has separate hours for him or something.
Yeah,
so he can get in and out without having to put up with all the stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's another thing that McLeod does well that is, that I thought was noble of him and ennobling, right? He made me want to think through some of my own teaching, was in that, in moments like that, where the community who previously did allow for different hours for their shop, here you come in late on Thursdays and we'll sell you your groceries then. Well, when his character becomes suspect, the community shuts him out, right? And some of those things, he, like that one, he takes pretty well, right? He doesn't get upset with the owner. He's quite upset, but he doesn't have an outburst with the owner. He just takes it on the chin. Whereas there are other things where he sees the trap that's being laid for him, but steps right into it anyway, because he will not relent. I'm back to the informal meeting, right, where the psychiatrist says something like, you know, I don't know if he's a psychiatrist, whatever, the Rorschach inkblot guy, right, who's questioning Norstedt. Anyway, in his conversation with McLeod, he says, oh, well, what kind of, tell us about your relationship, right? And he says, I don't think that you could understand it. And so the psychiatrist says, would you say that you're fond of him? And he's clearly baiting him, right? McLeod has a decision to make. And depending on how he answers, his life's about to get a lot more difficult. And he answers, I think, very bravely, very fond, right? I'm very fond of that child. It is, for him, something that he's not willing to say any other way. Like, you asked me that question, and you have a different agenda. But I will tell you the truth. Yes, I am.
Yeah, there's a sort of Christ and Peter feel in both in several scenes, right? Because there's a moment in which Norstad has to decide if he's going to be true to McLeod or deny him.
Right.
It's not three times, and there's no cock crowing.
Sure.
But
sure.
It's a very similar feel to it.
Yep.
As is in the case of the Grand Inquisition, he could have said, no, you don't understand. But he just leans into it.
Yep.
And says, it's my student.
Yes.
You know, of course, the very fond of it.
Yeah.
And so there is this deepening of the relationship that some, I think, it's unfortunate that all too often in typical school setting, we purposely place ourselves and our students in a what we call a professional distance.
Right.
That's really meant to say, if I really related to these students as a teacher's heart would like to, many would misunderstand. Right. Because we don't have a society of community.
Right.
We have a society of guardedness, and how are you trying to pull one over on me?
Right.
This is a spam call, and so on and so forth, to where our society doesn't support a good, healthy teacher-student relationship anymore. That is something for us to consider, how we might push back on that instead of just letting it continue to spin off into oblivion. But I know. There's a bunch of factors, but at the heart of it is this notion of trust. You want the best for me, and I trust you enough to follow you.
Right.
Not mindlessly. That's not education.
No.
But
which
with my mind.
Right.
And heart.
Right.
Which is education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You don't eat your vegetables.